Isaiah chapter 66. I know some of y'all are looking at the clock like we're starting really late, but don't worry, I'll be done by 2 o'clock. You can go home and eat. Yeah, I got about 1:30 then. I'll be done at 1:30. Amen. 1:30, I'm leaving the tip. 1 o'clock, I'm home free. I'll be done in 10 minutes. Amen. So hopefully we're done when the Lord's done. Sometimes it's 30 minutes, sometimes it's 50. We don't want to stay our welcome when the Lord's in it, and we don't want to understay it if he's in it. We just want him in it. Isaiah 66. Now, when you're looking at the Bible and you're looking at Isaiah, well, this is another thing we could have went over this morning. We'll probably go over it again next time. We could have went over it Sunday school. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 66 chapters in Isaiah. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and the first 39 chapters of Isaiah match up the Old Testament. And there are 27 books in the New Testament, and the last 27 chapters in Isaiah match the New Testament. Matter of fact, when you get to that changing point, it starts talking about the voice in the wilderness, which is John the Baptist, and pointing towards Jesus Christ very strongly. When you get to the New Testament portion of Isaiah, it's just like a small Bible. 66 chapters, 66 verses, and they split the same place. Although we do know that when you get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before the death of the testator, you're kind of in an Old Testament setting. But you can see the change. It's just amazing how God works this stuff out. But I want to look at Isaiah 66 for just a few minutes today, and we'll begin in verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offers an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. I will also choose their delusion, and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? Israel was in 1948, amen. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. I'm going to look at about 10 things, maybe 9 things. We go down through these passages again. The first thing in verses 1 and the first part of chapter, or verse number 2, it says, Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. The first thing I want you to see is the righteous king. Now, here we are in a day and age where every man is doing what seems right in his own eyes, because there is no king in the United States. Amen. There is no king in Israel. Every man does what they want. They want to just do things their way, like Elvis and Frank Sinatra sang about, you know, doing it their way. And you know, I'm the king of my castle, and you have the castle doctrine and law and all this stuff. And I thank God for that. I'm not against that at all. But you have the castle doctrine, and a man gets in his home and he thinks he's the king of his home. And if you're the king of your home, you're in trouble. Jesus Christ should be the king of your home. Amen. But we live in a world where it's all about me, me, me. We live in a time, a spiritual age, the Laodicean church age, where it's about my rights, my this, my that, my me, me, me. Solomon said, I gave me this, I got me that, I did this for me, I did that for me, I had me this, I had me that. And I say the I chapter, I. Solomon was all about himself. And the reason David ended up with the throne was it wasn't because David was so good, it was because Solomon was so disobedient. Amen. He disobeyed God and God moved him out of the way. Why did he disobey? Because he was his own king. He didn't make God his king. And that's what we live in today. We live in a world where everybody wants to be their own king. And you know, I'm on the blue side. I'm on the red side. I'm on God's side. I want to be on God's side. Sometimes I'm not. Amen. Sometimes I get goofed up and I get going on my side and forget about God's side. But ultimately, we ought to be about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We talked a lot about the Bible this morning. I'm pointing at a blank screen here. I know that. I filled it out earlier. I erased it because it'll stick. And plus, you'd be looking at it the whole time. Except you go to sleep. Amen. I heard a preacher say just this morning, I was listening to one on the way to church, and I got to be preached at, amen. Somebody beside my wife, she's a good preacher, boy, she can preach to me. And she's right, you know, most of the time. She's better than Joe Osteen or Joyce Meyer or any of them. She's almost always right. But we was listening to a preacher, and he said, my people, they've never seen my eyes. They said, when I pray, they're closed, and when I preach, theirs are closed. Amen. So I thought that was kind of funny. I said, I'm going to steal that. You know, that was Adrian Rogers, by the way. I was listening to one of his messages, old messages. But you know, the thing is that we got to be focused on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, well, he hadn't come back to be king yet. Well, he should be your king. You should go to his throne every day and say, Lord, judge me. Show me where I'm wrong. I want to get it under the blood of Jesus Christ and go on. But I want to talk just a minute about the righteous king. Jesus Christ is the righteous king. He is God. This Old Testament, two-thirds of this Bible, but a big part of the Old Testament too, is written about that king and about his kingdom. Jesus Christ's ministry on this earth, he was preaching about a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. He told his disciples, pray this way. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He's talking about a kingdom where he literally rules and reigns for 1,000 years on the throne of David. He is the righteous king. Here God himself is saying, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And you know, we got people hugging trees and trying to save the whales and all this stuff, and you know, paper or plastic, and worried about their lawnmower fuel, worried about putting mufflers on cows or whatever they got at catalytic converters. Are they cowlytic converters on cows? I don't know what they are, but they're worried about emission. You know, each person leaves this carbon footprint. Oh, hogwash. You know, take that and put it with your carbon dating, wherever you want to throw that in the trash can. Amen. But, you know, they're worried about all this stuff, and God says, here's my footstool. And they did. The world has went from worshiping Father God to worshiping Mother Earth, and they've got all mixed up and messed up, and everything's turned inside out, upside down, and backwards, and, we forget about King Jesus. Most people don't even want King Jesus. Hey, most born-again believers don't want King Jesus. They wanted him to get saved, but that's it. Lord, I'm on now. You get saved, you're on your own, you're in trouble. Because I'll tell you, you don't want to walk this place on your own. Amen? You don't want to go through the valleys of this place on your own. It's about the King. And, you know, if we could make it everything about the King, it'd make the valleys a little easier to get through. Not that you get through. Some of you just go in the valley and you stay there until he calls you out of here. But you're not walking alone. Because you got the lily of the valley. You got the King of Kings. You got the Lord of Lords. But we see the righteous King. The heaven is my throne, he said. The earth is my footstool. There's what he thinks about your mother earth. Amen. It's my footstool. Not that a footstool ought not be nice for God. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying to not be a good steward of what God's blessed us with. I'm just saying don't worship the dirt. You know, see, people got a little Hindu in them. You think, you know, it's about the bugs, it's about the trees, it's about that. I talked to a guy here a while back, and he said, well, I think God's in everything. I said, well, you see God's fingerprints on almost everything. And things that are going wrong, you see the devil and man's fingerprints on. Amen? You know, they tell me stuff like that, it's going to shock me. Pantheism, I believe God is everything. I believe the rocks are God. I said, you know, I'll go this far with you. The heavens declare the glory of God, and affirm it truth is anywhere. Day in the day of their speech, night in the night, you with knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. I'll go that with you. God's—he's not dirt. Jesus Christ is our rock, amen. You want to worship a rock? Worship Jesus Christ, amen. And it wasn't something that slime boiled on for 100 years; it was something that water came out of to give you eternal life, amen. That broken rock gave you eternal life through the water, the Holy Spirit. But the righteous King. Now look at verse 2, the last part of verse 2. We'll read the whole verse. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. The righteous king, you know what he's looking for? The respecter of his word. The respecter of his word. You know that's gone now? That's almost totally gone. We talked about the Bible through Sunday school. I don't know, we go to church, come to church, I feel like we ought to talk about the Bible. Man, I think we ought to read out of it, preach out of it, teach out of it, study it, try to rightly divide it. I think it ought to be important, amen. I think without the Bible, you might as well throw the building away. You might as well stay home. You might as well go to the football game, the basketball game, the soccer game, whatever. You might as well just stay home, forget it. Amen. If you're coming in here and, I'm going to get up here and say, I just want you to be the best you can be, you know, and get you some greasy hairdo and just be a nice you and go out and do nice things and just live life to the fullest. If I tell you that kind of stuff and I don't read the Bible, vote me out. Good night, we got two more people that can do it now. Vote me out. Matter of fact, as I'm walking out, shoot me. Good night. What's the point? But where's the respecter of the Word of God anymore? Oh, we got a lot of correctors, a lot of defectors. But where are the respecters? Well, we got people that, they can rightly divide it. They can tell you this, that, and the other, but are they all respecters of the Word of God? I think a lot of Bible believers get caught up in respecting their knowledge in the Bible or of things of the Bible and forget about the author of the Bible and what the Bible's intention really is. You know what it really is? This book is to lift up Jesus Christ. It's to magnify Him. It's to show you who you are and give you a chance to look in God's mirror and get right with God. Amen. But we don't have many respecters of the Word of God. By overabundance of correctors. Well, I think this word would probably, hogwash. Just read it and read it. What it is, amen. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Well, I think that means? I think it means the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. Amen? Jack Hiles used to say, I'll exegete it, you exercise it. Amen? I'll tell you what it says. You apply it. Amen? You apply it. We need to respect God's word. You say, well, what's going on in the country? You know, the country's crazy. We're being overrun with people who don't believe what we believe. The religion's changing. People coming across the border don't. They just believe all kinds of crazy stuff. They don't. What the devil's doing is he is using the lack of respect to the Word of God just to let people in, change everything. And then he's using the lack of knowledge of history to pretend like things weren't so. I don't worship the United States of America. I don't worship that flag. I thank God for that flag because that flag represented that flag at one time. They threw that flag away, and that one's getting really close. God's going to throw that one away one of these days. You've got to be careful. But the righteous king, the respecter of God's word, we talked about that in Sunday school. Think about what God has given you. Think about anybody in here got a love letter from their spouse? If you got one from a boyfriend or a mistress, don't tell anybody. I don't want to hear it. I'm not your priest. You got a love letter for your spouse? You got something that when you guys first met that means something to you? Amen. You ever come across it when you're going through something? Ladies are like, yeah. Men are like, oh, what's that? You know, but the ladies come across that stuff when they're cleaning. Men, cleaning is when you take stuff and you put it in order. It's like the sock pile. Don't make the sock pile your stockpile. Amen. When you put things in order and make it look pleasing to the lady, that's cleaning. That's free for the men. That's for me too. Hey, thank God. But cleaning through, going through something and looking, find something. Oh, I remember when he opened the door for me. I remember this, I remember that, I remember this. Oh, that was special to me. You know, when you first met Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, when he first promised you one day he was going to bring you in and be his bride forever, he gave you the most important love letter there ever was. A letter that was written in your language but not understandable to you until the Holy Spirit got indwelled. Well, what are you saying? I'm saying people respect more things, have more respect for things of man than they do things of God. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a special place in your heart for things from your husband and your wife. You should. That's a blessing. But what if you don't care about the Word of God? Where's that book, God, in the list? He should be here. His Word should be here. You know, the Bible says in Psalm, I believe it's 138:2, I will worship before thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, that has magnified thy Word above all thy name. You say, what's that mean? I mean, people are out there all over the place saying, God, God, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jesus, Jesus. You know what he says? More important is my Word. Then you just calling, giving lip service to my name. More important than my name is my Word. That you read it. That you study it. That you absorb it. That you meditate on it. That you pray over it. And that you apply it. That you apply it. We can talk about Jesus Christ, and we can talk about the fact that He died. He was sinless. He died. He was buried. He rose again, shed His blood. We can talk about that. We can talk about the fact that the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead. We can talk about that. We can talk about the fact that we're all sinners, and you get over to Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can talk about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We can talk about that. We can talk about the book of Ephesians where it talks about being transformed from death unto life. We can talk about you were dead in your trespasses and sins, now you're alive in Christ. We can talk about all those things, but unless you apply it personally, you'll go to hell and split hell wide open. It's got to be personal. You can know all kinds of stuff up here, but until it gets down here and it causes an action, you actually turn to God and say, Lord, I'm trusting you and you alone. I know you died for me. I know I'm worthless. I know I'm all my righteousness is filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. I know I deserve to split hell wide open, and I need to be the closest one to the flames if I got what I deserve. I mean, the blue part, amen. I need to be that one. If I got what I deserve, but I know you died for me. Shed your blood, pay my debt, and you rose again with victory over death, hell, and the grave. I'm just trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. If you've never done that, I'm going to invite you to do it today. I'm not talking about becoming a Baptist. Good night, man. That's where the trouble starts, amen. I'm talking about being born again. I'm talking about having the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your account. He died for the world, but the whole world won't accept Him. Have you? Has there been a time when you said, Lord, just forgive me and save me. I deserve hell. Please. I don't want to go to hell, and I know you paid my debt. I'm just trusting you. I'm trusting you and you alone. Faith. You know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy household. Not just believe it in your mind, but apply it through the heart and say, Lord, I'm the one you're talking to. A respecter of God's word. You know what the devil has done? He put so much doubt in people's minds, so much doubt in lost people's minds. I talk to lost people all the time. I talk to people that claim to be saved. They're lost. That's split hell wide open. They ain't saved. They're no more saved than I am Charles Barkley. Amen. I'm telling you what I talked to. They could tell you. They couldn't tell you what the gospel was. They couldn't tell you when they got saved. They couldn't tell you what salvation is. They just tell you about their good works. You know what's happened? They don't take the Word of God seriously. Then you got people that are just lost. I don't believe that old fairy tale. You believe that? That's good for you. Whatever. They just don't believe it because the devil has just masterfully almost got people to doubt God's Word. Talk to people every once in a while and they'll say, which one? I said, well, this one right here, I'm reading it to you. What are you going to do with this verse? Well, which, what about, the original Greek? Well, you pull it out and I'll read it to you. I'm not talking about copy. You pull the originals out. And if God will let you pull the originals out, I'm sure He'll let me interpret it. Because the originals are gone, amen. We've got a Bible. You don't have to speak Hebrew and Greek. You don't even have to be real good with English, amen. You guys know I'm not, amen. But you get in there and be serious about that book, you know what he'll do? He'll get real serious about your life and what he'll do with you. The respecters of God's word. Look at verse 3. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrifices a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. You know what we see here? We've seen the righteous king. Praise God. Keep focused on him. We see the respecter of God's word. Please be one of those. I want to be one of those all the time. Religious perversion. We're going to look at the religious perversion. You know what it says? Oh, they've got it their own. Oh, he that, they're comparing. They're just doing what they want to do. They're not taking the incense seriously. In the Old Testament, they weren't taking the sacrifices seriously. They weren't taking God seriously. They were just going through their tradition, going through the motions, and he said, that's nothing. That's what religion is. That's what religion is. The religious perversion. You know what religious perversion will tell you? Well, if you just show up at our church and you put money in our plate, look, if you're here today and you never put a dime in that plate, that's not how you get to heaven. That's between you and the Lord. The Lord will take care of this place. If we have to use candles in here, it's not about your money. It's about your soul. Amen? If you want to give your money, go give it to Joelstein. Apparently he needs it. I don't need it. We don't need it. I thank God for him taking care of our needs, for lights being on, for me, for you guys taking care of me and my family and all that. But it's not about that. It's about your soul. It's about your soul. But all the religion will tell you, well, you've got to do this. You've got to do that. And you've got to do the other. And if you put enough in the plate, and maybe you get dunked in enough water, the right priest or pope or whoever flicks water on you, or the right Church of Christ preacher, he dunks you in the water or what have you, or maybe you're running through the rain and the right raindrop hits you, maybe you'll get in. I'm here to tell you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is not about the perversion of the religion. This is about the provision of the Savior. He had provided a way for you to get to heaven, and that way Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Forget religion. I don't care if you belong to every church in Preble County, and two in Dayton, and three over in Illinois or Indiana. No, don't go to ones in Illinois. In Indiana, three in Indiana. There are some good ones over there. It's not about church membership. It's about whether you belong to God. You say, well, we're all children of God. No, you're not. If you're not saved, you're a child of the devil, according to the Word of God. Jesus Christ told the most religious people in his day that were trying really hard to do right, their problem was their pride. He told them, you are of your father, the devil. So what happens? Well, you get saved, and then you're adopted out of the devil's family into God's family. And praise God, that's a one-way adoption, by the way. The devil can't get you back. Oh, he might get you, but he ain't going to get you back. He might get you, he might stick you, he might kick you, he might stab you, he might hit you with a fiery dart if you're not holding the shield just right. He might get at you, but he's not going to get your soul. He's not going to get your soul. But you've got to be born again. Jesus Christ said, marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. How do you be born again? Can a man enter in a second time into his mother's womb? No, that's not what he's talking about. That was born of the flesh is flesh. That was born of the spirit is spirit. You've already been born once. I'm looking at you. But have you been born again? How do you be born again? By the precious seed of the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, I want to plant that seed in your heart today. Not just your mind, in your heart. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That Bible says in this Bible, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and you may believe in the name of the Son of God. You can know you're going to heaven. The perverted religion says, well, you can guess and hope so and maybe, and if you do enough for us and you do enough my way and do enough for the church and do enough for the poor and do enough for this and that and the other and stand on one leg or whatever you got to do to hopefully get in, that's what religion will tell you. But Jesus Christ said you can know for sure you're going to heaven by trusting Him and calling on Him and asking Him to forgive you and save you. You know, He made it so simple, a small child can understand it. He made it so simple, I can understand it. Amen. I'm glad He didn't make it complicated. If He'd have let me be born in the Old Testament setting with all that law, I'd be in hell right now. I'd have been done. I'd have been toast. But He looked at me and said, that guy, it's all about grace for him. Amen. It's all about grace for you. It's all about grace for you. The religious perversion. Oh, man, this is a sad thing. Look at verse 4. I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. They did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. So, well, I'm not doing any evil. Well, if you reject Jesus Christ, you know what the Bible says? He that knoweth doeth good and doeth it not, him and his sin. What we see here, we've seen the religious perversion. We know that's not right. We know it's all about truth. We just read the truth. And then here we have the rejectors of the call. Could you imagine that? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you never called on Christ, you'll stand at the great white throne of judgment one day and you'll say, well, Lord, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. And He'll say, that's all filth. There's none righteous, no, not one. I believe he'll quote the Bible at you. He did that to the devil. And if you're standing at the white throne judgment lost, you're a child of the devil, he's going to quote the Bible at you. And you're going to say, well, Lord, but look at all the things I didn't do. And he's going to say, forget about the things you didn't do. I'm going to talk to you about the one thing you didn't do. Because what will put you in hell is not whether you're a sinner. Whether you've lied or cheated or stole, what will put you in hell is rejecting Jesus Christ. Amen. What you're going to stand at the great white throne of judgment for, if you're lost and you don't get saved, is for not accepting the blood atonement from God's Son. So, well, my sins, my good outweighed my bad. And he goes, no, nothing. I'm going to put Jesus Christ in this side of the scale and all your good works in this side of the scale, and that it's going to shoot you off into flame. But you can fix that. Let God fix it by trusting Him today and calling on Him. The rejectors of the call. Now, if you got a phone call, probably during, don't have your phone. Please don't have your cell phone. If you have it on vibrate and you're messing with it, shut it off. Amen. But you get out of here and you're driving down the road, you get a phone call, and Walmart calls and say, hey, you won a $500 gift card. I mean, you might not even like Walmart, but I guarantee you, you're going straight to Walmart. Amen. And you go find out that Alibaba from Zimbabwe was messing with you through the phone, and he's just trying to get your credit card information. But you go straight to Walmart, amen, to collect that $500 gift card. You know what that gift card will get you? A couple weeks worth of junk, and you'd be broke again. But you wouldn't reject that call. You go, amen. And Jesus Christ calls, and he said, I'm going to give you something to last forever. And I'm going to give you life and life more abundant if you follow me. And people say, nah, I'll just go to Walmart. Isn't that sad? I mean, the Holy Spirit of God's working on your mind, working on your heart, saying you are going to go to hell. You deserve it. For all of sin to come short of the glory of God, and all you have to do, I've paid your debt on Calvary. Come to me. Follow me. Ask me for forgiveness. And I'll give you eternal life. People just block it out. Block it out. And block it out. Until it's too late. Don't be that person. Verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at my word, at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. That he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. We see the rectifying of the confusion. You know, the religious crowd, they tell you one thing, and they say, well, that we're pleasing God. That's what they thought they were doing. They thought they were pleasing God. And then they're looking at people that are actually pleasing God, and they're saying, you're not pleasant to God. What you're doing is wrong. I get people all the time, oh, you Baptist. I say, okay, forget the Baptist thing. Let's see what the Bible says. Let's just see what the Bible says. Amen. Let's just get right down to it and just read the words of the Bible and see what it says. Oh, you bet. No. Your problem's not with the Baptist. Your problem's with the Bible. Amen. I'm old school Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, but I don't care about that name. I care about Jesus Christ in this book. I'm not saying we want to ditch it, but I'm saying don't argue with the Bible. And make excuses by blaming somebody else or blaming some denomination. Amen. The rectifying of the confusion. You know, God's going to fix it all. He says, you know, oh, you're for God, you're against God. You're going to find out who was for God and who was against God one day. And old Pope, whoever, he's on the wrong side. Amen. Oh, Father Mulcahy or whoever, he's on the wrong side, unless he's been born again. But what he's preaching is for the wrong side. 2/3 of the Methodists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Baptists are preaching the wrong thing. They're preaching the wrong for the wrong side. Amen. Say, well, you think you're something special. I'm a piece of dirt, but God gave me a book, and you know what I want to do? I want to respect His Word. And I want to realize the truth of His Word. I wouldn't want to lie to you. Unless I'm doing math. You got to watch that. But I'm going to preach God's Word. It'd be kind of cool to have Olsteen's hair for a day, you know, just to see if the wind could actually move it. Amen? Or the money he spends on it every day before he gets on camera. He probably spends more on makeup and hairdo than most of us do on clothes. And that's fine. You want to have greasy, fine hair that won't move in a tornado? That's great. Cyclone couldn't touch it? That's great. But don't lie to people. Don't lie to people. Oh, God just loves you the way you are. God just, he just wants you to be the best you can be. That part's true. The best you can be is on your face calling out to Jesus Christ saying, forgive me and save me. I want to be born again, Lord. I want to walk with you. That could be, you could be the best you can be that way. But you can't be the best way you can be by chasing money and things of this world and forgetting God. Oh, I don't want to upset anybody by talking about sin. How upsetting you think it's going to be when they're cast into a lake of fire forever because you never told them that they're going to burn in hell and they need to trust Jesus Christ and they need to do it now. Even if it affects your bank account, you got to tell them the truth. Amen. God's going to rectify this. He's going to straighten this all out one day. Hey, when he gets through sifting things out, you're going to know what's right and know what's wrong. You might be confused about some things right now. And if you're confused about most of it, it's because you're not reading your Bible. But God's going to fix it. You're going to see it clearly one day. But if you're not saved, you're going to see it's going to be too late one day. One day. The rectifying of confusion. Look at verse 6. I lied to you. I might not be out here by 1. Look at verse 6. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. We've seen the righteous king, the respecter of God's word, the religious perversion, the rejecters of the call, the rectifying of the confusion. That's when God flips things around right side up so you can see it right. Now we see the rendering of judgment. Look what he says again, the last part of that verse. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. You know what? This is exciting because if you're saved, if you're born again, if you called on Christ, you realized you were a sinner, you called out to Jesus Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're saved, you're born again. And you, one of these days soon, God's going to rapture us out of here. I hope real soon. I don't know God's timetable for sure, but it looks like it's getting close. One of these days he's going to rapture us out of here. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to come back, the battle of Armageddon. You know what it says? The voice of the Lord that rendereth judgment to his enemies. We're going to come down with him, and he's going to be on that white horse in the front with that sword, that his word coming out of his mouth, and it's going to judge his enemies. Isn't that something? That's great. I hope more people get saved. I hope he has a smaller list of enemies. Amen? People need to get saved. But one day he's going to judge his enemies with his voice, with his word. That two-edged sword that comes out of Jesus Christ's mouth is the word of God, according to Hebrews. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He's going to defeat his enemy with his word. His sword, his word, his sword. Amen. Inseparable, his sword and his word. Kind of fun, his sword. But we'll get to see it. And I do believe we'll be cheering him on. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He's on earth again. Here, we're coming back with him. He's defeating the enemy. And boy, that'll be a great day. But you know what? If you're lost, you won't see that day. Unless you're on the enemy side at that time. But you get the great white throne of judgment, guess what's going to happen? You'll be judged by his sword. By his word. And cast into the lake of fire. Well, the Bible says the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. Eternal is a long time. I'm not going to talk to ladies at ladies' rest, but you men ever burn anything when you try to cook it? If your wife has, don't say anything. Said, my wife burned water. No. I've boiled water till it was gone, burnt the pan. Amen. Oh, I forgot about that. Was that 15 minutes or 15 hours? Anyway, you ever burn anything when you cook it? And it smell? Can't get it out of the oven, can't get it out of the house. You ever burnt yourself? You ever got one of them stoves that's got the light on, the idiot light on, says this thing's hot, and you're like, and this thing starts swelling up and beeping. You can feel the pulse of your neighbor through your hand. That hurts. But then after a while, it goes away. Could you imagine if it never went away? I mean, your whole body is consumed in a pit of flame. Where the worm dieth not, that's a soul that exists forever in agony. That man in Luke chapter 16, the rich man, He was crying out for somebody to touch the tip of his tongue with water because he was so hot. You know he's still crying out today. Oh, he'll get out for a minute. And God will say, yep, cast you right back in. Death and hell gave up the dead. This is, and then you're judged. The great white throne of judgment. And then you're going into the lake of fire for eternity. Could you imagine that? I don't even like burning my mouth. You ever burnt your mouth on hot food? You're like so anxious to eat. You burn the palate of your top, up the palate, your tongue. And then even water feels like sandpaper after that. Like, I hate that even. Praise God, I don't have to burn forever in eternal flames because Jesus Christ died, He was buried, He rose again, He shed His blood. God the Father says, I will take that offering, I will take that sacrifice, I'll accept that. And when I called out to Jesus Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not because I got baptized, not because I was a good person, not because I donated money, not because I spoke sweet things to people, not because I had nice hair, but because I called out and trusted Jesus. Trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, God put that blood on my account. Jesus Christ became sin for you on Calvary so you can become the righteousness of God when you go to Calvary and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. People ask me all the time, why do you think you're going to heaven? God's smuggling me in. He wrapped me up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and He's sneaking me in. But before I get all the way in, He's going to change me, and I'll be worth being in there then, because He's going to get rid of this old me, and I'm going to get a complete new me, conform the image of Jesus Christ. But He's sneaking me in right now. He's sneaking me through. Amen? You look over there at Israel and Gaza Strip and all that stuff, and you know they can't tell who the good guys are and the bad guys are. God can. You know, sometimes we look around, we don't know who the good guys are, the bad guys are. God knows. God knows whether you're born again or not. I can't tell. You could tell me I've been born again. You could lie to me, and I go, well, you know, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. You say you are, I'll take your word for it. But God knows. And if you're here today and you've never been born again, God knows, and He's wanting you to get saved. He's calling on you through His word, not the preacher. Why do I keep talking about Bible verses? Because it's the word of God. That's the seed. And if God's dealing with your heart today, you need to get born again. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. The rendering of judgment. Judgment is coming. It's coming to this world. You're not going to stop it. You're not going to save it. You're not going to save your Mother Earth or any of that junk. God's going to burn this place up one day, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Everything will be dissolved. I've heard people say, well, He's going to break it down and He's going to remake it. No, He ain't. He's going to destroy it completely and start over. There won't even be an element. There won't be a hydrogen atom. There won't be nothing left. He's getting rid of the whole thing, and He's going to speak a new one into existence. So how do I know that? The old things are tainted. Even the atoms are tainted. Because of the first atom. ADAM. The atom, the atomic structure of things are cursed. God's going to dissolve it all and start over again. But no, see, we can't, in our mind, we're like, no, He's got to have something to start with. He is the starting point. And if you're here today and you're lost and you're on your way to hell, He is the starting point to heaven. Call on Him, trust Him, before it's too late. You're not going to earn your way. You've already earned your way to hell. Ain't no getting out of that without Jesus Christ. The rendering of judgment. Look at 7 and 8. Straighten out some of our dear brethren. That's not my job all the time, but sometimes it is, I think. Look at verse 7 and 8. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Or for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It was talking about the rebirth of Israel. Oh, God's through with Israel. We've replaced Israel. This replacement theology garbage. God is not through with Israel. There is a book in the Old Testament telling you He's not through with Israel. You go over to Genesis when He promised eternal promises to Abraham. That tells you He's not through with Israel. When you go over to Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11 says blindness in part has come to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That means He's not through with them because blindness in part until. God's using us to make them jealous to turn them back, individuals, back. But He's going to use the time called the time of great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of Daniel 70 a week, to turn Israel back. You see, the birth pain started, and they're going, and they're going, and they're going, and they're going to intensify for 3.5 years like they've never seen. and he's going to regenerate Israel. It says, all of Israel shall be saved. Well, whoever's left won't be saved there. But God's not through with Israel. We see the rebirth of Israel. Now look at verse 9. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? The reality of God's promise. You think he'd tell Abraham, I'm going to give you an eternal promise, and then not do it? Okay, think about two things. If he did, he lied to Abraham. God is not a man that he should lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. So we know God didn't lie to Abraham. But think of the other part of this. That means the devil won. That means the devil won because God said, I chose this people, and the devil says, you can't have them. You ever think about that? You know what the people that are saying that God's through with Israel and the church replaced Israel? They're saying the devil won. And Israel's done. The devil didn't win. He's getting a battle here or there. But the war's already over. You know when the war ended? When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords touched down on this earth. When he went to Calvary, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he promised to come back. It's over. He's not through with Israel. Praise God, Israel's not through with God. If you're here today and you're lost, he's not through with you. He wants you to get saved. If you're saved, he wants you to use it. He wants you to use it for something. So, well, what could I do? You can pray, you can read your Bible, and you can tell somebody that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, shed his blood for them, and let God do the rest. Give them some scripture. The reality of his promises. Oh, you know, well, you can lose it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. That's a promise from God. You're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out. That's a promise from God. God don't lie. God don't lie. Look at verse 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. We've seen the righteous king. Keep looking at him. The respecter of God's word, be one of those. The religious perversion, run from that. The rejectors of the call, don't reject the call. The rectifying confusion, the rendering of judgment, the rebirth of Israel, the reality of his promises. Now we see the rejoicing of his people. You know what? Jesus Christ is coming back. Rejoice, Jerusalem, rejoice. But rejoice, saved person, rejoice. He's coming back. He's coming back to rapture, and he's coming back to reign. Two separate events. He's going to come back, call us out of here, and meet him in the clouds, meet him in the air. He's going to come back to rule and reign over this earth for 1,000 years. And we're coming back with him, if you're saved. He's coming back. Where's the promise of his coming? Let me tell you something. The devil can't stop him. He thought he did on Calvary. He tried to. He tried to in Genesis. He tried to. All the way through the Old Testament when Herod was killing the babies and all that stuff, he tried to. He thought he would stop. He finally thought on Calvary he stopped him. Oh, it was just getting started. The devil can't stop it. He's coming back and the devil can't stop him. Dead orthodoxy can't stop him. You ever been in a dead orthodox church? You're everything's the same every Sunday, and we start at 10 o'clock, period, whether you're in your seat. I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't even order, but, you know, some of this stuff is, okay, now we're going to sing this. I mean, you do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. It's a ritual. It's a tradition. It's dead. There ain't nothing in it. God don't show up. He's standing outside the door waiting to spew something out of his mouth. Amen. I hope he probably like that with us sometimes. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be like that every week. But dead orthodoxy ain't going to stop him. It's not going to stop him. He's still coming back. Doubters aren't going to stop him. Where's the promise of his coming? Oh, he's coming. You can doubt all you want. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, what you believe don't really matter. It's what true. What's true is matter. You don't believe it. If I tell you they got crock pots for $9 at Walmart and it's Black Friday on Sunday or whatever, White Wednesday, I don't know what it is. If they got a crock pot down there for $9, you go, well, I don't believe it. Well, if it's down there and people buying it for $9, it's still there, whether you believe it or not. Well, we just don't believe it. Well, so what? So what? You used to believe when you were a kid, if you closed your eyes, nobody could see you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this. How smart are we? And I know, kid, that's cute and everything, but you should grow out of that. If you close your eyes now, I still see you. Amen. Unless mine are closed. Then you don't see me. No, I'm just kidding. But the devil can't stop him. The doubters can't stop him. The deniers can't stop him. Oh, there is no God. We just all come from slime on a rock. But they're not going to stop him. He's still coming back. He's still coming back. The delusional can't stop him. Amen. The philosophers, the professors. Well, we used to believe that stuff back, but we have evolved. And now we believe that through carbon dating and our infinite wisdom and self and things, and that we've just become Homo sapiens sapien, wise man, and we all have no reason to be here. We're in all just an accident. Nobody really cares, is what they're basically saying. They're not going to stop him. He's still coming back. Harvard's not going to stop him. Oxford's not going to stop him. Princeton's not going to stop him. Yale's not going to stop him. Eaton High School's not going to stop him. Your middle school's not going to. Ain't nobody going to stop him. The degenerates out there thumbing their nose at God, flipping their rainbows and all their stuff, they're not going to stop him. He's coming back. He's coming back. The devil's angels. Well, you can just, let's not go any further with that. The angels of light. Just preaching sweet things. They're not going to stop him. They're not going to stop him from rapturing his church. They're not going to stop him from ruling this world. They're not going to stop him from casting people into flames. The only one that can stop him is you. If you're saved, you can stop him casting you in the flames by trusting Jesus Christ. Not going to stop him. The devil's people aren't going to stop him. The Democrats aren't going to stop him. Well, now they're on D's, amen? The devil can't stop him. The doubters can't stop him. The deniers can't stop him. Dead orthodoxy can't stop him. The delusional can't stop him. The degenerates won't stop him. The devil's people won't stop him. The Democrats won't stop him. The Republicans won't even stop him, amen? Ain't nobody going to stop him. He's coming back. You know why I believe that? How I know that? Give us his word. It's a promise. The question is now, what if he come back and called his church out today? Would you be at the Black Friday sale at Walmart next week? Or this week? Or are you leaving? Are you leaving? Because things are going to change at the rapture. Right now, you call on Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you and save you from the heart. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I know I deserve it. Please forgive me and save me. He's going to take you to heaven. But after his church is gone, it's going to be a whole different world out there. Whole different deal. Talking about the mark of the beast, worshiping the Antichrist, and being cut off, have your head cut off for the cause of Jesus Christ. You could be saved today.